Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Well, Ted Lasso Season 2 is over. And I am very sad.
Aww. I got what I think is a very cute cover-up for my pool party weekend. And when I showed it to my mom, she said, "Oh, what a nice tablecloth."
My cat threw up in my bed before I had made the bed this morning. And you really gotta love that kind of emergency laundry.
Ah, yeah. Heaven, thy name is a Sonicare electric toothbrush replacement head. Am I right?
Very poetic, Heather. Have such a good day. Hello world, welcome to Have Such a Good Day, the show that wants you to do exactly that and not a minute too soon.
Episode 120, yo.
Yeah, how about that?
Wow. God,
120, Heather.
120, I'm like, I can't
believe it.
I need like a massive hard drive for all of our shows now. It's like I need a terabyte or something. It's a lot of shows.
It's a lot of content. Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, you don't have to save the project files. I mean, once they're MP3s,
That
I actually have the same problem for anybody who does any. Well, video would be a whole another beast, and yes. It has been on our show before. But even for audio podcasting, it's like you've got a project file. It's big, you know. It's multiple gigs, and then you know when you compress it to an MP3 and send it out to the world, it's much smaller than that. But you still, you know, you really have to be vigilant about like, okay, where are my files? What's happening?
How much room is it taking up?
I have no more iCloud space.
Yeah, exactly. The iCloud thing. Oh my God. Don't even get me started. That and like the drive space and just all the space. I mean, you got to rent out all the space. It's costly.
I'm very, you know, when I work for other people, you know, when I have sort of like podcast contract stuff, which I do. I'm always freaked out that for some reason someone's gonna want access to that project file,
exactly.
Or I'll have to get access to that project file to change something. And so yeah, I've got like these external drives where it's like, you know, I have like my little like chicken scratch on masking tape, you know,
yeah,
labeling
totally.
Them, you know, just so I can keep them straight.
Yeah.
And it and the thing is like, no one, this has never happened. No one has ever been like, "Hey, can you go back
to episode 7?
Yeah, and we need the project file. Like most of my clients don't have any idea what I'm doing or how I arrive at a final episode, you know? They don't know. But I still feel like, I feel really weird if I don't have them.
Yeah, like even just the raw files, like what if we wanted to make a compilation? It's sort of like I think maybe coming from traditional television, like you and me working with like Betacam tapes and just like everything being in a library, like, you know, like
I mean,
actual...
it wasn't that long ago that I just threw out all the Betacam tapes that I had saved over the years. And I mean, this was my own work. I had saved them because I'm like, well, it's like proof of my work, but
exactly.
It's not in a reel online anywhere. I'm not going to bother doing it. It's also so outdated that it's like, am I really showcasing my work from 1998?
No, and people don't want to know. It's like TMI.
You kind of just, you sort of go like, here's what I'm doing lately and I have lots of experience. Bye.
But I, exactly. But I got to tell you, like, I write down like the projects I've done, even just like for me to remember, because I remember one time I had this like eureka moment and I was like, oh my God, I interviewed Beastie Boys. Like, remember when we interviewed Beastie Boys and I completely forgot at Sundance.
Oh yeah. And Sundance. And it was that like was when we worked at G4. Year.
Yeah, and yeah. We were like in the snow, and it was just like, those are the things that I would maybe, I want to remember that, you know? So like, I have to write this stuff down. Like, you know, that I interviewed Sonic Youth. Like, that was one of my first field shoots, you know, at the Hollywood Guitar Center. And it's like, oh my, I completely forgot I did that. So recently I actually wrote a list of just like all the wacky, random like segments that I did, just because they were really exciting at the time. But you know, you gotta help your memory out, you know, you gotta keep lists. But Sarah, it's getting nippy out, at least for me in NorCal. And this is the show that unpacks the absurdity of everyday life for your entertainment. We hope
whether you're all warm in this or cold. Together,
whether you like it or not, how is everybody doing today, this week, this month? We love ya.
Well, we do. I like how you prefaced that with like, listen, it's getting cold, but we hope you're okay. It's strange. It's really weird. So we've had a very hot summer here in Sonoma County, California. I mean, it's just been, for months now, it's 80s or 90s and sometimes worse. And I'm anything over 80 degrees. Okay, let's call it 85. It can still be nice. But anything over that is like, you're sweaty, you're hot. Meh, don't like it. There's a lot of things to love about summer, but I do, you know, and you and I have talked about it a lot, you know, the weather changing is kind of fun. But it changed around here pretty dramatically. And we're into October now. And October is my birthday month. And that has no bearing on this conversation, but I... Over my entire life, it's always because, you know, I grew up in the neighborhood I live in now. It's always been right around my birthday is when it starts to rain because it hasn't rained, you know. It's just it kind of California weather doesn't it's a little bit different for you, Heather, because you're north of me. But most of California can pretty much put away the umbrella from April to October. And so it's not bizarre that the weather's changing, but it had, you know, had been so hot until a week ago, not even a week ago. And, you know, I look at my weather app on my iPhone and I'm like, whoa, that's a dramatic drop. Like what? Like high 60s. That's crazy. And I'm not complaining because I'm cool. I'm cool with layer weather, but it has, you know, it's dipping to the 40s overnight. It gets colder at night here over the winter, you know, it'll dip into the 30s, but that makes my morning walks with my dog extremely brisk. If we go to the park in the morning, you know, and there's dew all over the grass, it's like it's really cold and wet, like I need my galoshes. And it's fine, it's whatever, I've done it before, but it's it kind of happened overnight.
It did up here too, and everyone's like, it's like the total like water cooler conversation right now up here is like, did you hear it's going to be a really wet winter? And I'm like, well, where did you hear that? Like, you know, meteorology is hard to determine that far down the road, but apparently it's like a El Nino year, and I'm just like bracing myself because everybody and their mom is telling me it's going to be a cold winter, it's going to be a doozy, and I'm like, great. You know, so I guess I'm trying to brace myself, but I got my galoshes out. We did have a heavy rain day, but it didn't last that long. You know, it always says, oh, it's going to rain for days, but it doesn't. And we've had like some beautiful sunny days. Like, you know, the sun comes up right away. No clouds, no fog, but definitely brisk, you know, definitely nippy. But I like it. It's nice. And I just, local film commission just sent me a hoodie, a big, thick, nice hoodie. And it's perfect timing for this weather because it's super cozy.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny. I have this, what do you call it? They call it a split something unit where it's like heat and AC, you know, kind of in your wall. Split something. I don't know. I'm not good at electrician things, but what I do is I just I really just like set it to like 74, right? Mm-hmm. And so if it's super hot, because my house is not well insulated because I live in a cabin and there's mm-hmm. like cracks in the windows.
Lots
and stuff.
Of windows.
Yeah, I mean, it's just you got to be on top of it. And when it's hot, you know, 74, I mean, the AC is running all day and it kind of just, I rarely change the temperature because I'm like, yeah, it's just a nice temp in here. Mm-hmm. And I sort of have to ride it a little bit because, you know, heat rises and my ceilings are really high. So I know that there's a lot of heat that's just kind of hanging out above me. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I haven't really thought about heat too much lately, but I've been noticing that my little unit, you know, and also it's hard to describe if you aren't familiar with one of these, but you can like set the vents to be like pointing upward or pointing straight or pointing down. And then there's sort of like a back and forth motion where it's like, if you're trying to spread heat or cool across the house better, you know, it's pointing to the left and then it slowly moves over to the right. And it actually does work. You know, it's sort of a fan on a fan type of action. Mm-hmm. But when it's heat, the little, what are they? The blinds, they're turning down, you know, cause you want to put the heat down as low as possible because you know it's going to rise. But yeah. when it's AC, it's just straight. Because the mm-hmm. AC is going to fall because it's cold. Yay, science. And so, you know, just in a pinch, you know, I can look at it right now. Like, I'm looking at it and it's pointing down. So I'm like, oh, yeah, it's okay. So it's heat because I have it on auto. Like, hey, just make it 74 in here, whether it's the air or it's the heat. Just, I want to be comfy, you know, not too hot, not too cold. And it has been, even overnight, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, I gotta remember to, like, when I'm under a bunch of covers, like, I don't need the house to be heated to 74. I mean, it's kind of a waste,
right?
But
doesn't your nose get cold?
I like a cold nose. I like a cold face.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see. I mean, probably not if it's like storming or something, but I have a window right next to the side of the bed that I prefer, and I always have it open overnight. I like cold air in my face and then the rest of me to be really toasty under the covers.
It's like my
version of camping. I don't know why exactly, and I kind of like, sometimes I'm wearing an eye mask, sometimes I don't, but you know, if I'm not, like, the covers are kind of over my eyes and around my ears, but I like the rest of my face, nose and mouth, to be like getting blasted with cold air.
This is a good thing to know about you, Sarah. I learn new things every day.
Right. Yeah. It's the issue. I love a hotel room. Don't get me wrong. Even like a real nice one, you know, with a fancy bed and stuff. Uh-huh. But so many hotel rooms, you know, you can't even open the window, right? Because it's like a hazard. And the air when you're just in the room doing whatever you're doing is, you know, that's easy enough, but it's like the perfect hotel room air overnight is always a struggle for me because I'll get in bed and then I'll be like, no, it's not,
it's
right.
Too, it's cold.
Yeah, it's too cold. Yeah, or it's being kind of noisy or, yeah, like now that I'm all tucked in, I think it needs to be colder because I'm just only going to overheat a little bit more once I go to sleep. Anyway, so yeah.
It's a whole thing. I mean, thankfully, those nice hotels have remote controls.
Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes.
Haven't been in a hotel lately. I honestly don't know. But
I don't know. It's been a minute. I guess in the summer I stayed in one.
The last time I was at a hotel. I think the last time I stayed at a hotel, ridiculously, is January of 2020 when I went to CES in Las Vegas.
No way. Well, wait, didn't you stay in San Francisco? Was that before or after when you stayed like in the Presidio?
No, that was way before, because that was when I lived in L.A. That would be the only reason I would stay in a hotel. You know, otherwise I would have just driven from here. Anyway, yeah. we're getting into the calendar weeds, but I guess I'm due to go to a hotel someday.
Yes, you are
sometime soon. Who knows? Maybe, I don't know.
We love the weeds.
We do. So I had a terrible day, but it has a happy ending.
Okay, good.
This week, and this is for anybody who has been kind of looking, speaking of calendars, looking at their calendar and being like, okay, I've got major surgery pretty soon, which is me right now. In less than 2 weeks, I'm going to be having my cancer surgery. And it's a big deal. And I don't want to say I'm like scared really. I guess I probably will be. I mean, there's always like a small chance that like, and then Sarah never woke up again kind of thing. But that's not really what I'm focusing on. It's more of just logistics. Mm-hmm. And when and this is such a weird story, but hey, why not? We're all friends here. But when I initially, you know, found my surgeons, and there's two main surgeons and they have to work together. And so it's kind of a pain in the ass to get them to be like, okay, we both are available on this day at the same time. It's just how breast cancer is. And that day, you know, ended up being later this month. And it was kind of a ways out, you know, when that day was decided. It was about a month out from the time that, you know, I had, you know, the treatment options had been laid out. We had a plan. Now it's time to schedule surgery. And I'm like, dang, I got to wait a month, you know. And, you know, the professionals said, listen, you know, as far as cancer is concerned, 1 month, you're not going to like have double cancer, you know, in that time. Mm-hmm. You know, this is something that we've caught early. It's these things don't grow rapidly. You know, don't worry about that too much. And so I was kind of like, well, I guess this is what I'm dealing with. And I guess I can take the better part of a month to just get really zen in my head and also get a lot of things worked out, because not only do I have to take time off work, and that affects other people, you know, my colleagues, you know, have to do some of my stuff, and, you know, it's not just me being like, oh, I disappeared for a while. It's like, it affects other people. My mom is basically my nurse, like 24-hour nurse for a while, because I need a lot of help at first. I'm going to be pretty immobile. My cat and my dog need to be taken care of, and I can't do a lot of that stuff. I can't take my dog on a walk. Like, you have seen how big my dog is? Like, there's no way. You know, if he pulled me, I could, like, I don't know. I mean, bleed out or something. It's not happening. And that, you know, that's something that I have to deal with for a while. It's also not free to, you know, board your dog, you know, or have, even if, well, in my case, a friend of mine is helping out a lot. But I'm still going to need to have him somewhere after she can't help anymore. And it's just, you know, I need to like vet these people. I'm not just going to drop my dog off somewhere and be like, bye, see you in a month. Mm-hmm. And then the, you know, I manage an Airbnb here. You all know that well. And that means that if there's an emergency, I can't help. I won't even be here. I will not, you know, it's not like I'll be like, oh, let me like hobble over and help you with this or that. It's like, I won't be here. And I will not. It will be of no use to you to contact me with, you know, something that you need. I mean, unless it's like a really simple answer. But even then, I'm like, just no. Let's plan for Sarah not to be bothered for, you know, for a little bit, for the first time in years. So that's all stuff that is like very precarious. And when I look at, you know, my calendar, it's like there's always one thing where I'm like, oh yeah, I still have to do that before this happens. So anyway, long story short, I got a note the other day from one of my surgeons who said, ooh, looks like there's been a little bit of a calendar mix up. I'm paraphrasing, but essentially that's what she was telling me. And I can't do this for on the day that we have down on the calendar, I won't be available. I'll be available the following week. So like 7 days after that. And this was a note that I saw after office hours. So it was not like I could call anybody back right away and be like, whoa, what's happening? So I kind of just had to sit on it overnight. And I was not happy, as you can imagine, for all the things I laid out just now. It's like, okay, you might say, well, I mean, what's one more week, right? Mm. Well, sure. You know, the sort of my body, my health part of it is kind of sure what's one more week, but it's all the other stuff. And it's all the other people that now need, you know, are affected sometimes negatively and need to be like in the loop. And then, of course, you know, you have so many kind people who, you know, want to help and want to stop by and want to send a casserole and, you know, all this stuff where I'm just like, dude, this was all very much in stone. And to just be like, oh, we have to push it a week is like not okay with me. And I put my monster pants on and I yelled a lot and I got my original date back. So that's all good. And the details, there are some more details involved with that. But let's just say that they relented and said, you're right, this was definitely our F up and we're going to go with the original plan. So that,
I'm so glad.
Yeah,
wow,
me
hallelujah.
Too. That is a good thing. I'm still mad about it, to be clear. You know, I'm still mad that that was even something where I'm like, I had to deal with that for like a day before it just got handled. And I was really upset and I'm thinking like, okay, contingency plans here. God, okay, this has to change. This has to change, you know, all this stuff. And, you know, even my mom, you know, my mom isn't just like, I mean, she's not a 24-hour nurse. She has a life.
Yeah.
You know, she has, you know, cleared her schedule. And of course, she'll clear her schedule for, you know, for me, you know, at any point. But it's like, it's just unbelievably, rude isn't even the word for that. It's like, incompetence.
Yeah,
and when you're kind of like, yo, surgeon, are you okay? Like, I
like,
don't
you're
like
cutting into me. Like, this makes me very uncomfortable. You don't know your schedule.
Exactly. And I also, you know, everybody's human and, you know, all that stuff. I like this surgeon. I've, you know, met her a handful of times now and you know, I felt good about it, but it's like, okay. If a surgery date of this magnitude is scheduled a few weeks ago now, that was when it was like, okay, you know, now we're doing like post-op stuff. Like my schedule is like well into November for like post-op stuff because of this surgery date, you know? If it was a week later, all those have to change too. And, you know, for someone to be like, ooh, looks like a calendar mishap, I'm like, you didn't look at your calendar for 3 weeks? Like that isn't seem right? Like where were you? Or whoever's managing your schedule, like where were they? It just doesn't compute. So it was a sucky situation. And I really feel for anybody who's been through something like this before. I've had, I don't know, mild surgeries in the past. You know, I got my tonsils out when I was way younger and wisdom teeth, sure. I mean, that's even, I don't even know if I was like fully asleep. I don't remember. I was so young. But
I think you probably were.
I broke my foot at one point, but I didn't require surgery. I just had to, you know, be on crutches for a while. It's like, I'm not a stranger to the hospital experience. Ooh, I did have the brain stuff. I was definitely in the hospital for that. I forgot about that. But I wasn't really under general anesthesia. I was there for a while. It's a very surreal thing, you know.
Well, it's also,
and
like right
every day I kind of just want it to be over, but it's like it gets scarier as it gets closer too, because you know, I'm not really a baby about pain. I mean, who knows? I mean, you know, I say this now, but it's more of just recovery and just being so unable to do stuff physically, you know, for a while.
Because you're so used to being active. I mean, you're a very, like, you know, spunky person and you like to use your body and, you know, you're not used to, like, laying around, you know?
And no. I get it. I really do like, I mean, sure, it's exercise, but it's, like, it's also just, like, energy, you know? It's, like, I like to run around. I always have. So, it is what it is, but keep y'all posted.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're doing all the right things, and I mean, you do seem like you're in a pretty good mood, you know, relatively. And I think having a positive attitude is super important too. And, but it is really frustrating when the incompetence, because I've had situations like that, especially recently, not with health stuff, with business stuff, where people are just making stupid mistakes and it causes you hours out of your day to fix it because they weren't paying attention or they're not doing their job very well, you know? And I've noticed that a lot lately. And I don't know if it's, you know, pandemic brain or like, you know, everyone's just like exhausted. I don't know, but more incompetence in, you know, I feel now than ever. Anyway, so, well, we're all rooting for you and we all love you. And, you know, we're going to get you through this.
Thanks, Heath. You know, and thanks everybody. I know it's been kind of like a Sarah, she's so sick, you know, kind of thing for a while. And you know, I hope very much that I am better than ever pretty soon. And you know, we probably won't laugh about this one day. Not sure what's funny about it, but hopefully it will seem like something that's in, you know, the rearview mirror.
Yes, exactly, exactly. Time just marches on, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah, I definitely feel more and more, I don't know what it is, and it's actually funny, I wanted to shout out my friend Jill, whose birthday is today, the day that we're recording, and she listens to the show religiously, and she called me the other day, and she'll kind of talk to me once a week after we post the show to talk about the show, like, oh, when you mentioned this, or say what she liked, or what she thought was funny, or whatever, and was basically telling me how much she could relate to this Groundhog Day thing, and so it made me feel less alone that, like, literally, like, every day just passes so fast, and I'm going to bed, I'm waking up, I'm brushing my teeth, all this stuff, and I'm like, it's like you were saying, everything does feel very surreal right now. Like, it's just, am I just gonna wake up from this fever dream? It's so bizarre. Anyway, so I'm heading out on a big pilgrimage tomorrow, actually, and I have to, you know, pack a lot of stuff because I'm gonna be gone for a couple weeks, and I'm doing a variety of things, you know, so I have to make sure that I have the right clothing for these events and that kind of thing. And I kind of feel like I'm at the point where I just don't know how to dress anymore, just out in the world, not at home, but out in the world, like for events with people. And I'm out of practice. We're all out of practice, you know? Mm-hmm. All I know for sure is that I'm happy in a matching sweatsuit, in a pair of stretchy pants, hoodies, ball cap, all that stuff. Like that's my sort of my uniform right now. But to put together like a polished, like head to toe outfit sounds really stressful. And I'm kind of, it's so stupid. It's a silly thing, but it just makes me, you know, I'm like, who do I want to be now? Like, I don't really resonate with a lot of the clothes that I used to wear. You know, I don't really think it's me anymore. So I'm like, I don't really know how I've changed or what I want to change into, but I do have a big business meeting and it's going to be over a dinner. And I'm like, I don't really know what to wear. I'm probably overthinking it, but I just don't feel comfortable in a blazer anymore. You know, I just, blazers. I wear a matching sweatsuit to this dinner? Probably not.
It would be a statement of sorts.
Yes, exactly. I mean, maybe like a really high-end cute one, but yeah, I you know, same with like, you know, do I wear high heels? Like, I feel so funny in high heels. Like I've been wearing sneakers for, that's all I wear, you know? It's like, occasionally maybe I'll put a pair of boots on, but it's sort of a funny situation. It's not about the material things. It's more about like, yeah, like who do I want to be now? Like what do I feel comfortable in? And I'm not trying to impress anybody. It's not about that. It's what I feel comfortable in. It's always what I wear has always been very personal, and I'm not trying to like prove anything to the world. I find it to be it's an artistic statement. It's your personality. And I want to feel comfortable. And I'm just curious, I know we've talked about this over the last year because there's been the whole COVID slob chic stuff and the, you know, just wearing yoga pants and wherever you go. And,
yeah,
you know, I think at some point though, like the other day at the bank, I think it was at the bank or might've been at like a breakfast place. I don't know. It all blurs together. But this guy was wearing flannel Cookie Monster pajamas and he's like a grown man, you know? And I kind of was a little eye rolly about it. I'm like a big fan of like sweatsuits or whatever. That's different, but like wearing your PJs.
I mean, maybe, you know, it was a dare or something. Who knows?
I don't know, but I was like,
so I actually had something similar happen. I had to get gas yesterday morning, and it was kind of early. Like, I had just been from the dog park, so it was like 8 a.m. kind of thing. And as I'm pulling in, a woman is walking, you know, into like the gas station store. And she's just fully in a robe and slippers, and like her hair is all wild, you know, and you know, you kind of, you know, just, awesome. Yeah. And I was, it's like, I don't care. I mean, you're getting some at the gas station, right? It's not like you're like parading yourself out, you know, for the whole world to see. She's probably was just in a hurry or something, you know, but I'm like, dang. And it was kind of a raggedy robe, you know, like, and I was like, it almost looked like a costume, you know, and I'm
maybe
like,
maybe it was, you know, it is October. You
know, it's true. I think it was just what she was wearing. I just got a sense, but it was,
that's great.
I kind of love you for this, lady.
I know, it's totally amusing.
You were just like, I'm not getting out of this. Uh-huh. I need to go to the store. And whatever she was getting at the gas station, I don't know. They doesn't seem like they have a whole lot in there that you would want. I guess some crappy coffee or some, I don't know, candy.
I kind of get joy from that too. Like, I remember seeing a girl in a bank, like sitting down with a banker. I think I mentioned this on the show a million years ago. She was wearing literally a pajama set, like a full set, talking to a banker, like at one of those desks. And I was like, this is so unprofessional, but at the same time, it made me laugh. So I was like, I kind of was annoyed with her, but like also I thought it was great, you know.
I mean, it also, the lines are very blurred. Like, I have some PJs that are sort of, how do I describe them? You know them when you see them. They've got like the little white trim, you know, and they're navy, and there's like a top and bottom. Like, that is not something I would wear in public. It's just too pajama.
Yeah,
I mean,
totally.
There's no reason to wear those unless you're going to sleep or just like lounging indoors.
Yeah,
you know, with a loved one or alone. But I would never wear those outside. If someone did, I would be like, okay, you're wearing your pajamas. But like, yeah, I wouldn't care. But I also have sweatsuit sets that, you know, they kind of like became popular, and you know, we all stayed home a lot more, so I have a few of them now. And I got my hair cut yesterday, and it was an early appointment, and I had kind of rolled out of bed and was like, I'll just wear my sweatsuit. To me, it's indoor pants stuff, but she was like, that's so cute, you know, because she could tell that it was like top and bottom were matching. Like, where'd you get that? I love it. And I'm like, I slept in this. You know, like, just FYI, like, I'm not feeling super great about my motivation today, but you know, it's sort of funny what you can get away with.
I know, it's like anything goes these days. Like, who cares, you know? I don't know. Yeah, it was funny. The other day, my gardener came over, and we were both just complete slobs. Like, we didn't brush our hair. She had like dirt on her. Like, you know, we were going to do some stuff outside, but we both looked at each other and laughed, and we're like, look at us. Oh my God. I mean, it was just, I don't know. I'm just glad that you can laugh about it. You know, that's the important thing.
Yeah, totally. I agree. And I do feel for you about, even I don't have it, you know, a work event where I'd have to like really, you know, kind of look, you know, professional,
dress
or think about having a blazer, which I gave all of my blazers to Goodwill last year.
Good for you.
I guess it was earlier this year. I don't know. I did a big sweep, and I was like, blazers, come on, Sarah. Like, who are you kidding? You're not wearing them anymore, and you haven't for a long time, even though I like the look. Wasn't working for me anymore. But I feel for you. I sometimes don't know, even if like a friend has a barbecue, I'm like, I mean, they don't care if I look like a slob, but I kind of care.
Yeah.
You know, you want to put in some sort of an effort and sort of read the room too.
Exactly.
You know, it's like, it's always sucks to be like way overdressed or way underdressed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, but it's really cool. Cause I'm going to be packing my car. It's a big deal because I am going to be gone for a while, and I'm ending up at Joshua Tree at like this pool weekend. And so I have to have like my bathing suits and like all that crap. And I bought like a case of wine for like a handful of us that will be drinking wine. And so, and I went through, my dad has all this like Russian wine because he used to own a winery in the Republic of Georgia. And I finally dug it out.
That is boxes. A random thing to say. Okay.
It is so random. I know. It's so random. Yeah. And so, and all these bottles are like so, like they're so haggard. I mean, they've been in like a cellar for so long and they're like the labels are peeling off and the wine could be horrible. I don't know, but I think I'm going to bring some down so that we can like taste some Russian wine. I thought that would be kind of fun. But who knows? It could be like incredible wine. Yeah, it's going to be like a fun adventure, but definitely, you know, who cares? The clothing thing is not a dire thing. You're going through a lot more serious situation and, you know, just keeping it, well, I'm just trying to keep it light.
Well, you know, it's all relative, right? You
it
know,
is.
It's like how, you know, packing for a trip, kind of stressful. Getting ready for surgery, also kind of stressful. Like, it's yeah. like, you know, we can't control these things. It's no. just, it is what it is. I wish I was packing for a trip. That sounds great. I guess I'm packing for a trip of sorts.
Yeah.
a trip where I just have to sit a lot. But yeah. we'll see. But speaking of sitting a lot, one of the things, so October is, I mentioned it's my birthday month, and I'm not a huge birthday person. I don't like to be fussed over. You know, I of course I like kindness and everything, but it's, I get embarrassed about making a big deal about myself and the fact that I was born. And that's just me. That's just the way that, you know, it's, that's me. But October is also my dad's birthday month. His birthday is October 8th. And, you know, it really affects me a lot less than it used to. You know, my dad passed away in 2004. So there have been many birthdays that have come and gone, you know, where he's not around to celebrate his own birthday. He never really did to begin with. But, you know, there's sort of that, you know, and going into October is, you know, my dad had died at the end of September. And so that's sort of a, you know, it's certainly not a thing that I can ignore. And then it just, you know, and I'm not a Halloween person. So, you know, the whole like spooky season is just totally lost on me. I just don't do it. I don't participate. I stopped participating a long time ago. And then you kind of get into the holidays, and the holidays are just complicated for lots of people. I don't really have like some like crazy, you know, horrible family thing I have to deal with on the holidays, but there's still some like sometimes just like a little impending dread, and I don't know why, you know, of just because and then it's going to be over and it's next
year is going to be over, and then there's the pressure of the new year. I mean, there's a lot of stuff.
But one thing that's great about the month of October, even though it's not my favorite month for a variety of reasons, is baseball. Now I'm a baseball fan. I'm a San Francisco Giants fan. That's, you know, that's my team. San Francisco Giants have been very good and then not so good in the last few years. And they're really good again. And depending on when you're listening to this, they will even either have won their division series, or I don't even want to talk about the alternative. Or the division series will still be going on. Just sort of depends on the day. But that's what's happening as of this recording. And they're playing the LA Dodgers, and that's a big rivalry. And like a division series like this has not happened since like, so I don't know. I could go on and on about baseball, but I won't, because I know some people just do not effing care. But the San Francisco Giants used to be the New York Giants. And the LA Dodgers used to be the Brooklyn Dodgers. And so way back in the day, the rivalry existed in New York. And both teams just happened to move out to the West Coast. And they've, you know, both been here for a really long time and, you know, whatever, whatever. But it's like, this is like a historic matchup. And of course, when it's your team, you're like, yay, now I'm excited. You know, I don't even really care about, you know, division series when it's like some, like, I don't know, American League team where I'm like, who cares? I don't care who wins. But I always follow baseball around this time of year because it's exciting. You know, you're marching towards the World Series, and baseball is such a long season. And I think that's what puts some people off. It's like, ah, oh, there's just too many games. I'm like, well, you don't have to watch every single one. You know, you kind of, you follow it as much as you need to, blah, blah, blah. So I am excited about hanging out, watching some baseball. And nice. With any luck, my Giants will win a championship. We'll see. It's looking pretty good right now.
Yeah, I get that sense. Just, you know, gleaning from, you know, the news stories and stuff. I mean, I'm not a big, like, I play baseball, or I used to play baseball. I'm not a big spectator sport person, as most of you already know, because we've talked about this on the show. But I totally appreciate it. And there's a vibe to it every season that kind of comes around, and you get to kind of snuggle up on the couch with some snacks and watch a game and get into it. And, you know, I feel like I'm missing out on that a little bit. Like I watched hockey for quite a bit years back, and I got into it. Like, I think because I didn't really grow up going to games, or I was more like doing the games, like I was very sporty, but I can see the comfort in that for sure. And maybe I need more of that in my life. But because we're in the scary season, I feel like I am compelled to talk just for a minute or so about why made-for-TV movies, horror movies in particular, are so satisfying for me. And I know some of you out there, Jake, one of our viewers, who him and I have been chatting all week, back and forth, talking about what we've been watching. And I don't know if anyone's reading it. This is on the community board, by the way, on Patreon. If you guys want to join, feel free. It's super fun. It's patreon.com/havesuchagooddays/community. And it's right at the top, and just dive right in. It's you know, couple film nerds. But so, and I swear, I mean, there's so many things about the 70s and 80s that are so much fun to talk about. Those decades, I think, were so special, especially like living through these decades and how, I don't know, I think, you know, with technology, it's really just changed how kids are raised and what they experience in terms of nostalgia. Like, I'm not even really sure. But because technology came so far, like after the 70s and 80s, I feel like those decades were just so, there was just something really special about them, because they were still kind of analog. You know, life was still somewhat simpler. I'm just really grateful that I grew up during those decades. I have a deep nostalgia of my childhood because of these made-for-TV movies. I mean, I was an MTV kid. Me and my sister, I have no idea why we were into horror movies as kids, but
kids love that stuff. You know, I guess all the Friday the 13th and Nightmare on Elm Street movies.
I did love that stuff, and I still do. I mean, I watched Christine again last night for like the 12th time. It's one of my favorites.
I almost watched Carrie last night.
You did? Oh, that one's scary.
So I didn't, because it was like, it was kind of late, and I was like, yeah, I remember.
That's a scary one.
It's a scary movie, and it was a great book. I mean, you know, I already know how it ends, but I'm like, do I do this right now? And then I was like, Sarah, oof. Just go to bed.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a good choice, because I mean, Christine, it is a scary movie, but I'm not like so scared of it. I mean, I think Carrie and Cujo scare me more, but like, I just love Christine. It's such a good movie. And like the score, and I love John Carpenter. I'm a huge John Carpenter fan. Anyway, so when we were kids, we used to, you know, we had TV. Like nowadays, I mean, I have streaming. I don't have television. I haven't had cable for so many years, I can't even remember. But there was an 8 o'clock scary movie on Channel 2. And then there was other channels that would have 8 o'clock movies. But I remember specifically Channel 2. And I remember my mom kind of let us watch whatever we wanted. We were like, I don't know, like not even teenagers yet. And we were watching like pretty scary stuff. And I remember very distinctly when Friday the 13th, the original, played as an 8 o'clock scary movie. We had these double doors to like our TV room or whatever you want to call it. And I remember running out screaming. I was so scared. But it's just, I love what these TV movies evoke. They evoke this time, this simpler time before streaming existed. You know, a lot of them were kind of on the lower budget side. They were made on the cheap, maybe kind of campy. There was often like kind of cheesy special effects, you know, because of the low budget. And a lot of them are hard to find today. And there is something very comforting about these TV movies. They're like, again, you kind of have to take it. You have to go into it like you're not going to be watching an Oscar, you know, nominated movie. It's just, this is just something that, is really fun and easy to watch. You know, and I think part of it is because there were commercial breaks. So they had to, there was a whole production team back in the day that did these movies, this very specific kind of production, where you had to lead up and out of these commercial breaks, because you had to have like a cliffhanger, you know, and there was like a music swell. And so these movies are really special. They don't do that these days because they don't have to consider commercial breaks. So I think there was this like emotional roller coaster kind of thing. And maybe that's why I like them so much, but it was a whole operation back then. And I just want to mention a few these are a few of my favorites that you can actually stream right now. And again, like I'm saying, a lot of these are not even available. Like, I watched one the other night that was like such bad quality, and like the aspect ratio, I mean, it was just crunchy and horrible, but I really wanted to watch it. It was like, I think we found, I rented it for like $1 on Amazon Prime, but it's just terrible quality. So you're going to come across that, like that you're going to find these things on YouTube and stuff like that. So Duel from 1971, a lot of you probably know about this movie. This is a Steven Spielberg movie. And yes, he started out making his first movie for TV back then, you know, before he was a big, big movie guy. It was about a big scary truck. It stars Dennis Weaver. This is one of my favorite movies of all time. It is so good. You never see the driver. So it's really kind of has that scary, like, mystery to it. You're like, who is driving this scary monster truck? But it's available to rent on Amazon. I highly recommend it if you haven't seen it. It's so good. Trilogy of Terror is awesome. This is one that I didn't know about. My boyfriend, we watched a while ago. It's from 1975. It's an anthology series. It stars Karen Black. For those of you who are Karen Black fans, I sure am. It's about like a possessed Zuni fetish doll. It's free with Amazon Prime or YouTube. This is so fun. In fact, Sarah, I think you would, because it's kind of funny. It's not scary, but it's three stories about her. One, she's like a school teacher and she's actually a witch. And it just, it's so amusing. And then Salem's Lot, 1979. This is a TV series, actually. And it was filmed up here in the adjacent town called Ferndale that I've mentioned. It's hokey, but so great. So good. This is Stephen King. You can rent it on Apple TV. And then finally, Night Stalker, 1970. This is another fun one. You can watch it for free on YouTube. And I want to know what you guys are watching on this Halloween season. You guys can email us, or you can jump into the community board. Jake and I really want to know. And I know Sarah would probably like to know too. So email us at hi@havesuchagoodday.com.
I mean, I don't want to say I glaze over when we talk about the horror genre, but
you're,
I'm just like
intrigued.
I mean, I'm glad that you love it. That's how I feel about it. And sure, when I was younger, it was the thrill of the scare.
Yeah, exactly.
And even the Friday the 13th movies, you know, they're not really scary. They're just gory, you know? Yes. It's like, look how they died. You know? Like over and over, like so many people died.
Like, I don't even like that. You know, like I don't even like gore. I really don't. What I like is the film score. Like I love the music for horror movies. I love the tension and the thrill, but I actually turn away. Like I do not like super gory films. I more like that like traditional horror where it's like there's just that scary tone. It's about tone for me. Everything is about tone and atmosphere.
When I think I probably told the story. I must have. I mean, hey, we're on episode 120. We probably told lots of stories over and over at this point. But when I was in like sixth grade, I wasn't super young, but I was still, you know, not a teenager yet. Yeah. I was at a slumber party, a bunch of girls, and we played The Exorcist, and I lost my mind, and my parents had to come get me in the middle of the night.
Yeah,
luckily my friend didn't live that far away from me, but it was like walkable, but like I wasn't walking home in the dark. Yeah. I had to like literally like what I don't remember if it was my mom or my dad, but they had to like come down and like, you know, like bring me and stay with me for a while, you know, in the room because I was so traumatized.
I can't believe you guys watched that. That is a very scary movie. I have a hard time with that one.
I've seen it since because I was like for years I was like, oh, I can't do this shit anymore. I mean, I was really very anti, like if it's supposed to be scary, I don't want it. I don't care. I don't want
I remember when you watched Midsommar and it was a whole thing. And then you watched it again. It scared the shit out of you.
It didn't. But then well, you, it did. No. That was not a scary movie to me. That was a very upsetting movie.
Yeah, it was upsetting.
I watched it more than once because I was like, maybe I was just like in a very weird headspace. I was mad that the movie was made.
I just love that you watched it again. It's so funny.
And I hated it just as much. And it was like there were certain details that I think I was so like, oh my God, just like trying to take it in the first time that like when I watched it the second time, I was like, oh, it's even worse. I didn't even make that connection. It's just like I don't want to see stuff like that. That is not good. And I know that, you know, there are so many people that would just argue with me all day about how original and artistic and beautiful it was. And it's like, yeah.
You're like, I don't care.
I still just feel like all it does is make people feel horrible. And yeah. I don't need that in my life. But we're all different. We're all different. Yeah.
We are indeed, Sarah. We are. You know, actually,
when you say that magic word, I get all heated. I'm like, fuck that movie.
God. You know, it's funny, a perfect segue, because last episode I was talking extensively of my pet goose named Gus when I was following him around the property. It was just like one Canadian goose that just like fell from the flock, and it riled everybody up in Discord. It's so cute. Like people were like, Heather, Canadian geese are your favorite bird? Oh, I hate them. They're the worst birds. And like, it's just like, everybody is like, ah, and I'm like, no, you don't understand. Like the Canadian geese here, at least with my experience, they've been really cute and they have like a really mild honk. And I find them to be very amusing that they honk. And I know some geese can be very aggressive. My cousin, when I was a kid, got chased down by like one of those white geese, and it was like biting him, like it was really scary, and I was there that day, and he like was screaming, and it was super traumatic. But yeah. I don't know, like maybe it was just a very special little goose that came by. But it's really funny how this is what happens in Discord. So seriously, you guys, consider joining. It's only $5 a month and up if you join on Patreon, and we've got a great crew in there, and we talk about all the things. So what are you waiting for?
Yeah, and you know, the $5 a month, you don't have to give us $5 a month. That is the Discord level. But if you're not a patron yet, just a quick reminder that this is all a homegrown little operation that we have going here, and directly supporting us is the best way to make sure that the show continues. patreon.com/havesuchagoodday to find out more about directly supporting the show. Yeah. We also got a real nice email from Colin. Colin hails from Ireland. Hello, Colin. We're probably related. Colin says, I'm an audio guy for independent films, and I love everything audio. I'm 42. I still feel 22, but that's a different story. Found your podcast recently, and I've listened to it every day to catch up, and sometimes I fall asleep to it. And then he says, I'm tired at that point. I don't mean I'm listening to it in the middle of the day and falling asleep while driving. I found your podcast when I was thinking, I wonder what Sarah's up to. And he apparently was an iPad Today fan back in the day when I hosted that show and worked at Twit. So thanks, Colin. It's so nice to hear that you found us. I don't know exactly how you found us, but
I know,
but
you know, I want to know how people
we're super
find
glad.
Us.
Yeah, we're super glad to know. See, we don't know. I mean, I don't know. There's so many podcasts now that it's harder and harder to get recognized.
It is.
But you know, we're not, as far as we're concerned, really featured anywhere. I mean, that's like damn near impossible to do on iTunes at this point, unless you get a favor, called in type thing. But we would love to know. Yeah. If you just found the show and said, oh, I'll give it a try and liked it. That's so cool.
It's super helpful because there are a lot of people in Europe and, you know, around the world. And it's like, yeah, how did you come across our podcast? Did someone tell you about it? And I think, again, like I've mentioned, you know, when you kind of rate and review on iTunes, it does help kind of push the show out into the atmosphere. And, you know, and it alerts other people that the show exists. So thank you in advance for that. And we so appreciate you listening and supporting us. Seriously, you guys, we're doing this for you. And obviously, you know, like Sarah was saying, there's so many podcasts now, and you know, it's hard to really get up into the front. And, you know, we try to do a little bit of a little homegrown, marketing, but, you know, there's only so much we can do. We got to put the show on every week, and that's what we really try to focus on.
Exactly. I've always been sort of bad at self-promotion. I'm great at putting out shows. Like, talk all day. Y'all know that. But yeah, it's your support means everything to us. Short version of what Heather and I are both saying, and you know, we really appreciate it. And we'll be back next week to do it all again. And you know what it's going to be, Heather?
What?
It's going to be episode 120. Week. No, it's going to be episode 121. Yay, palindrome episode.
Yes, but also your birthday week.
Shut I know. Up. I always no one cares.
I know. It's so funny, Sarah, because I'm like, I hesitate to like wish you an early happy birthday because I'm that person that's like, happy birthday week or happy birthday month, but I don't want to piss you off.
You're not pissing me off. I'm just like, it's not a birthday week. It's one day. It's one day.
My friend Melissa just had a birthday. I have a lot of October friends, birthday friends. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. And my friend Melissa just had it literally like 10 days before her birthday, like outings and parties. And she is someone who really does it up on her birthday. It's a whole thing.
And I love it. I love that for others.
Yeah.
That's all. It's just... We can't all have long 10-day birthday
celebrations. This is true, Sarah. This is true.
I'm like, I'm busy, people.
Don't Jeez. Bother me with birthday wishes. Bah humbug.
I mean, just it's fine. It's like most of them will be on Facebook. I'll be like compelled to then write a Facebook post being like, thanks everybody for their birthday wishes because I want to be nice. Yeah. And then we do it again next year. It's fine.
I love it. I love that your curmudgeonness about your birthday. It's great. But on that note, it's good to see you, Lanes.
It's good to see you too. And I hope you have a real nice road trip. And we just because of scheduling stuff, Heather and I, we think we have it covered. If for any reason we have to take a week off, and we hope we won't. We don't think we will, but we'll let you know ASAP. But you'll hear our smiley, shining faces, whatever that means.
Voices.
Next voices. Yeah, you will. You'll hear our shiny faces. Yeah. Our faces will just be in your ears talking to you next week. And until then, hope you have such a great day and week and life.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.